Welcome to ICTJ's podcast series. Today we are talking with Judge Dan Akiki Kiza, head of the International Crimes Division, High Court of Uganda. Thank you very much for being here, Mr. Akiki Kiza.
Thank you for having me.
You are the head of the International Crimes Division at the High Court of Uganda.
Yes.
What are the main tasks of this body of law?
Actually for the ICD, the International Crimes Division, we came to being during the Juba peace talks, because when the war continued, despite the issuance of the warrant of arrest, moves were made to have peace talks in Juba under the chairmanship of the South Sudan government. So the rebels came to Juba, the Uganda government also came to Juba. When they met in Juba, among the agreements which were reached, it was the one on accountability and reconciliation. It was envisaged that the Uganda government sets up a special division of the High Court to try all those people who have been suspected of having committed atrocities during the war. That's how ICD came into effect. Now, after that, the judiciary set up a division, a special division, purposely to try international crimes. That's how we came to being.
And how are these processes benefiting the society, and what are the challenges they are facing?
Well, you know, for judicial proceedings, they are not like, let's say, hospitals or doctors by treating somebody getting cured. Now, for us, we have to wait for people to be brought to court. Recently, we had our first case involving some of the rebels in the bush. That was Uganda versus Thomas Kwoyelo. He opened it in September. And the people around who were affected, especially the victims, they were overwhelmingly interested in this trial. Crowds and crowds of people actually turned up at the court in Gulu to witness the opening of this trial. So you can see on one hand, people were interested to see that at least in the long run, justice is being realized. The atrocity they suffered, at least somebody is coming answerable to that one. So the society was happy that at least justice is being done. On the other hand, there was a debate between justice and accountability. You see, other people wanted peace instead of accountability. So there was one section where he said, now since we have got the ceasefire and there's no more fighting, now why do you go to trying these people to court? When you take them to court, others might start fighting again. So there was this debate always there, peace or justice.
And how is the principle of complementarity between the ICC and national judiciary implemented in Uganda?
Actually, initially, there appeared to be some resistance from misunderstanding between ICC and ICD. It was presumed that the ICD was formed to fight or to compete with the ICC. That was the understanding in 2008 when we came into being. But during following discussions between me as the head in The Hague and between myself and OTP and other stakeholders, we tried to point out that actually Uganda, apart from fulfilling the Juba Agreement, it was also fulfilling its obligations under the statute. So eventually, actually, it came to an understanding. They appreciated our stand. After the Kampala Review Conference, now the ICC opened its doors, actually. It welcomed us when we went last time to the Hague, and OTP said it's going to assist the prosecution wing of the DPP. Understand they have trained them, and understand they gave them some evidence, which they had gathered against Kwoyelo.
Is there a way for traditional justice in the debate of complementarity?
Yes and no. As far as Uganda is concerned, under the Juba Peace Agreement, there was a provision in the third schedule on accountability and reconciliation that the Parliament of Uganda should make provision to see how traditional justice mechanism can be incorporated within the formal legal system. Unfortunately, that hasn't been done by Parliament as yet. And for me, I would support in the sense that actually this could be a chance probably for Uganda to have its jurisprudence also in the international market as being part of the international jurisprudence. But another hiccup, another problem we are likely to face is that traditional justice mechanism differs from tribe to tribe. The Acholis have Matoput, the Langis have Kawachul, there are different ones. So you might find that the enforcement of those traditions differ. Now, you might find that somebody, the victim, may not have come from Acholi who understands Matoput. He might have come from another part of Uganda where they don't believe in Matoput. So you can't say now, okay, we are going to apply this traditional justice mechanism, which in my tribe I don't recognize. So that's the challenge. That's the challenge it faces. But otherwise, the idea is good. But probably the implementation per capita might be a little bit of a problem.
And I imagine that if you add to that international persecution, that makes it even more complicated.
Exactly, exactly.
So what would be your recommendations on how to deal with these challenges?
You see, traditional justice mechanism can be viewed by international players as a way of forgiving the suspect. And you see, then it will amount that now ICD is actually not trying those people genuinely, but staging a sham trial, a showcase, which is contrary to the principle of positive complementarity. And as you know, if the ICC finds out that the trial was a sham, it has reversionary powers to recall and try that accused again. So there's that debate. It's there.
Some voices in Uganda say that priorities for the country are security and development, and that justice can come later. How do you see this call for sequencing of priorities between justice, development, and security?
As far as I'm concerned, every segment is essential. You can't have economic development without security. And also you can't have economic development without law and order. And the courts implement law and order. So even if you have development, you have investors, if the investors can't operate in an atmosphere where if there are disputes in their business transactions, they can't have been resolved legally and peacefully. In Uganda, we have security, there's no problem. Economic development is on. So in my view, all of them should be implemented at the same time. Nothing is priority to the other. Because even if you say security is essential, but if somebody breaches security, you need law and order where to put him. So you can see, it's a question of a hen and an egg, which came first.
How do you think the meeting here at Green Tree can help the implementation of complementarity principle? And what are your expectations for the meeting?
I think this meeting here is very important. It has ironed out and consolidated what was discussed in Kampala as a follow-up of the first Green Tree number one. Now, this one, if you read from what we were discussing, it was trying to put flesh on what was agreed upon, the practical part of it, the experience of those people who are already benefiting the ICD from the complementarity. Where are the shortfalls? Where are the strong points? What can be done to improve or eliminate other problems? So I think it's very important. It's very important, and I expect improvements.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Akiki Kiza, for being here.
It's my pleasure.